You know, life, I don't think this is something that's been scientifically proven, but I think it's universally accepted. That life is complicated. That life can sometimes be confusing. That life can sometimes, as it comes at us, can throw us for a loop. You know, that one moment everything seems to be flowing well, and then in just a given moment, everything turns and everything's upset and everything is undone in some of the most frightening and frustrating ways. It's just one of the challenges that we face as we walk through this thing called life. It would be so much easier, wouldn't it be, if we had like owner's manual came with every new baby and that they get to keep that manual and read it. Or a book of directions, wouldn't that be helpful? How do I live life? Life 101, how do we do this thing? You know, if we had a book of directions, then at least half of you would have a chance in this world. And the other half of you are guys, you'd never read the book of directions, so that's just the way it goes. So we're stuck either way. But life is, and I think it always has been, just sometimes you become a little bit more aware of all the things that go on to make this such a, sometimes a beautiful, but sometimes very difficult road to walk. You know, I love this picture. I ran across it. I just was thinking, life 101. What would it be like if we had a basic course? How to do life, how to do it well? And I saw this picture of Charlie Brown and Snoopy. I thought, now that makes me think. That's just, isn't that a beautiful picture? Just, you know, you're there pondering life, surrounded by beauty, maybe your best friend. Yeah, best friend, yeah. And no cell phones. Alligators, maybe. Yeah, I didn't think about alligators. Who said alligators? No, those are islands. Those are islands, Val. Whew, that would change my whole image of this beautiful picture. Yes, surrounded by alligators. Now it does start to feel like life, doesn't it? Yes. It's starting to feel a little bit more like real life here. It was almost a little too idyllic. Yeah, with just all this beautiful, no cell phone beauty around. But yes, maybe with alligators in the water, it feels a little bit more like life. Philosopher Soren Kierkegaard said this, that life can only be understood backwards, but must be lived forwards. Think about that for a moment. That the challenge of life, oftentimes we don't see exactly how it's going as we're moving forward, but as we look back, we can begin to see things fit together, things that led to other things, things that of the way things kind of go for us. And sometimes we don't even realize the decisions we make or the choices we make, how they will affect the future, and yet we are invited to make those choices without full awareness of what it's going to lead to. There's a lot of truth in that sometimes we can understand things far better when we look at it backwards, but we don't get that privilege. We have to live life forwards. And sometimes we grow a little tired. Sometimes we grow a little distracted. Sometimes we get a little overwhelmed. Maybe even we get lost. I think we all feel that way from time to time. But at the same time, the reality is, and this is part of 101, this is part of life 101, is that we are all on a path. We're all going someplace. Whether you realize it or not, whether it's intentional or not, we are going someplace. The life that we have been given isn't just a life that goes round and round and round and round, but it is a life which goes from one point A to point B. And we are on a track, whether we realize it or not, whether it's our choice or not, we are moving through life towards a destination. Ray Ortlund said this, and I love this quote. Actually, I wanted to say it a week or two ago, and it just didn't quite fit, but I'm glad I was able to hold on to it. That everyone, speaking all of us here, is on a path. Everyone is going somewhere. That when we feel stuck, even when we feel trapped, the truth is we are still in motion. Let that one sink in. That life is a journey, and the end of it all is not just a place, but it's also a condition. Where are we going? We are becoming the end of our journey. We are becoming the end of our journey, wise or foolish, and every moment takes us closer there. You know, that's really pretty profound and pretty deep thought, that every moment that we take breath, we are moving closer and closer to our final destination. So what are we doing with the moments in the days and the weeks that God gives us? We recognize that life is a gift, and what a precious gift it is, but what are we doing with it? We recognize that we have been given an amazing measure of grace to reach out and to love us. But how are we responding to that grace? How are we taking that grace and allowing it to then not only penetrate us, but also then to reflect to those around us? That's a question I think that's all worth us pondering as we move into this fall. What is it about? What can we do that's going to begin to take us down this road, this gift of grace? You know, there's a verse I'd like to take a look at, and it comes out of the book of Ephesians. I know many of you have read this, know this, maybe even memorized it. But it's a powerful verse, and I would like to suggest that we take it, put it somewhere, read it from time to time, because it can be kind of foundational for us as we seek to live this life and live it well, moving towards this goal of destination that God has indeed for us. It goes like this: "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Now, before I go on, I want to just say, what do you see? Let's just do this. This is open. Any truth in there stands out to you? Anyone? We can just take a little bit of back and forth here. When you hear those verses, what does that say to you, and what does it mean to your life? Anyone?
Grace is a gift of God.
Grace is a gift of God. Okay, it is. That's what it says here. It's not by our own works, is it? Okay, good. That's an important truth to hold on to. But we're created, so there's a little bit of a tension there, isn't there? There's the yin and the yang. There's the both and here, that yes, we are not saved by our good works, but we are created for the purpose of doing good works. There is something that is prepared in advance for us, that we're not just blazing our own trail, but there is a trail that we are intended to follow, that works that we are intended to do, that God has already in mind for you. And that's kind of an important thing to think, wow, so I'm not, well, let me just walk through. There's a few things here that I'd like to just say, and if this is kind of why the verse stands out to me, because if we're just looking at truths that we can pick up here, first one I'm going to grab is this, is that we are saved. How important it is for us to wake up in the morning and to have that awareness of what Christ has done for us, and that we live in this condition called salvation. That we are not just floating. We are not condemned. Oftentimes we hear those words of condemnation speaking whenever we fail, that somehow we didn't measure up, somehow we're not going to make it. But the reality is, this verse says that we're saved. Let's lay that as a foundation for part of what we're going to do with the rest of this day and the rest of the days that we have. Also reminds us in this that we are loved. It is that gift of grace that comes. It is God's love that extends that to us, that we are loved, that we are not overlooked, that we are not somehow misplaced, that we are not forgotten. And again, sometimes we hear those words kind of coming and playing with us, but we need to pull back and say, as we begin our day, we're going to start with this, that we are loved. That it's by grace that we have been saved. Again, as we said, it is not earned, can't be bought. It's not our good intentions, nor is it our noble acts that get us this salvation. It is grace. Now, the flip side of that is also helpful, that not only do our noble actions not earn us this salvation, but even our less than noble actions do not disqualify us. In case you were falling asleep there for a moment, let me hear say that again. The good news is that our actions do not disqualify us from the salvation God has opened. Anyone here ever screw up? Anyone ever screw up to the point where you're thinking, boy, I can't get out of that one? Anyone ever screw up and think to themselves, God will never let that one go? Maybe I can't measure up to God's love any longer. This reminds us that that's not ever an issue. It is God's grace given to us. It goes on, and because of that, we can feel secure. Instead of all this insecurity and anxiety that riddles us about what we're doing or what we're not doing or how we're not measuring up, this grace is rooted not in our lovability or our goodness or our performance. And so all that feeling of somehow not measuring up is rooted in something that is not God. And I know a lot of us feel that sense of not measuring up. That we are his handiwork, or I'm going to use the word crafted because handiwork wouldn't fit here. Didn't have enough room. It was a long word. But that is important, isn't it? Because it tells us that you are created as God wanted to create you. You're not defective. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. That we are crafted, that we are created, that we are God's handiwork, his workmanship, some versions say, that we are a demonstration of God's creative ability here. That we're not a mistake, that we're not a problem. Though we can make mistakes and we can get into trouble, we are not a mistake, nor are we a problem. And that we are here on purpose and for a purpose. And we're also intended. We're also implies a destination or a goal, a mission for us to accomplish, that our life matters. For all those times when we think my life doesn't matter, it's not measuring up to anything, there's no reason for me to be here, I'm just taking up space, I am just sucking up air. The reality is that no, you matter, and you matter to God, and you matter to God's plan. And that's why when I look at these three short verses, 8, 9, and 10, I say these could be foundational. This could be my 101 for what it means for me to live life in a way that begins at least to respond to the grace that God has given out of this reality of these things of my being saved and loved and experiencing his grace, of being secure because it's not about me any longer, of being handcrafted and intentionally purposed for this world with a destination. Kind of shapes, redoes how I see myself when I look at myself in the mirror. This past Wednesday, I got a chance, a privilege. It was really kind of cool. I got to drive up to Lodi in the afternoon, and I got to celebrate with my grandmother. No. I say we did that for everybody. Okay. My grandma turned 101. 101. That's my grandma right there looking at some of the cards. Actually, she had about a half a dozen cards there, and two of her nieces bought her exactly the same card, which is kind of one of those funny things. That's what she's laughing about. You see two cards, they look the same? They are. But then how many cards are there in the racks for 101-year-olds? No, they're not. I've looked. They're not. But, you know, when I go up there and I see her and I begin to, you know, celebrate with her, what a blessing it is to hang out with her. But it always puts me in a reflective mood. I'm so thankful for her, so thankful for family. And it just reminds me of the gift that family is. When I go there and I'm able to see her, I'm thankful for the long life that she has been living. But I'm also aware, whenever I'm with her, I'm also more aware of the fact that life is not intended to be here forever. That 101 years is a long time, but it's not forever, and it won't be forever. And not only am I aware of mortality a little bit more when I'm celebrating with someone who's had a long life, but it just brings that whole idea to me about how it is that we are invited to a time. Now, we understand time when it comes to things like athletic events. We know you have how much time in a game, and the goal is to score as many points during that game so you might be the winner of that particular game. But there's a beginning and there's an end, and we know that. And so every moment, every play, everything is important because it's going to factor into how we conclude. But we don't live life that way, do we? Because we have this thought that somehow life does go on here forever, and it doesn't. And so we can kind of allow a day to go, or a week to go, or a season to go, or a year to go, and we don't really have to feel like we're tracking or going anywhere because we're just getting by. But the reality is that we all have a time frame, and each moment takes us closer to our destination. Now, before I go on, because I want there was a few things I thought of when I was with my grandma, because we had just come through the wisdom challenge of the book of Proverbs, and I was reminded of this, Proverbs 16:31, that gray hair is the crown of glory. I love that because I was in a room full of gray-haired people. And it is gained by living a godly life. Anyone here say amen to that?
Amen.
All right, now let me tell you, this is the flip side of it. It's partly not true. And this is the part that's not true. I've known a lot of scoundrels in this life who have gray hair. And they got their gray hair, you know how? Not by living a godly life, but by being married. Okay, very good. I wasn't going to go down that path. Yeah, by having teenagers. Yeah, okay, we could go with that. Amen, okay. I was going to say, they get their gray hair by hanging around long enough. It's a matter of just time and life on this earth. Now, you may want to, color your hair, put it off a little bit. That's fine. But the reality is that gray is coming. But again, not making this a promise, but a probability that if you live a godly life, the likelihood of getting a lot of gray hair is probably better because you're living it right. And so it reminds us, again, that there is something to this idea of living each day towards this goal of seeing what's coming down the road. So even if you're not there yet, and some of you don't have any gray hair, hallelujah, you're so fortunate. Andrew, not a gray yet. That's good, all right? Okay, Brooklyn says she has no grays yet either, so that's good. Keep it up. But again, what we do in our life as we're moving through makes a difference. And sometimes we think because we do have a lot of gray hair, for those of us who are older, that maybe our time is past, that our time is done. I love this. C.S. Lewis said this, that you are never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream. Now, I know that for my grandma, she sometimes has a hard time with this, that maybe at 101 she's like done with dreaming. But we have to challenge each other all the time. In fact, we talk on the phone. And she'll say, I don't know why I'm still here. And I say, I don't know why you're still here either, but I'm glad you are. And if you are, then God's not finished with you yet. So that's what we look for. What does God have for you still today? So even if sometimes we begin to think that I don't know what I'm here for, that becomes then our jumping off place to ask God, what is it you have me here for? If we don't know what those works that he's prepared in advance for us to do, that becomes our jumping off point. I don't know what it is, God. What would you have me do today? If we don't know what our ultimate destination is going to be, of where God wants us to grow by the time that we're done with this planet Earth, then we should ask him, what is it you want of me so that I can begin today to walk that direction? No one starts a race. Can you imagine a race like this where they line you up on the starting line and the starter's pistol goes off and they say, okay, you can run or not in any direction you want. And when we blow the whistle, it'll be over and we'll decide what the point was then. And who the winner is? Can you imagine a race like that? But yet we live life that way, don't we? Kind of go whatever way you want, as fast or as hard as you want. We don't know what the end result is. We don't know what the goal is. But hey, when it's over, we'll figure out that you got to where you got. But is that where God wanted you to get? Maybe there's some things that we can begin doing today that begin to grow us in our ability to be grateful for what God brings to us. Maybe there are some things that we can do today that can make us more prayerful and aware of his presence in the moment, day to day, which makes us more aware by the time we get to the end of our life. Maybe there's going to be things that we can do in this day that begin to enable us to not only demand our way, but begin to look for ways to give ourselves away so that by the time we get to the end of the line, people will look and say, boy, our world is going to be worse off because we don't have them here anymore. How horrible would we get to the end of the line and have everyone say, yeah, no big deal. We're not going to miss them. But to be able to say, No, each life matters. Each day as we move on that track of trying to get somewhere, not just staying where we are, but moving forward is a kind of the key thing for us as we move forward. Today's baptism is a good example that we're doing something today which is going to set this day kind of apart, but then we move on to tomorrow and then the day, next day after that and the next day after that. But are we moving towards that goal that we're striving for, or are we just wasting time? No, if we're getting in the water to be baptized today, praise God. That says something is happening and there is a future that you are moving towards. But this is what we can hold on to, whether we know it or not. We can trust that God is at work in us to grow us, to make us something more than we were yesterday. Philippians 1:6 says this, "For I am sure of this very one thing, that the one who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." This is good news for us because sometimes we find ourselves stuck on the side of the road or sidetracked or maybe a little bit lost or off the beaten path. We find ourselves, we realize that we have somehow gone where we didn't expect to be going and maybe not where we wanted to be going. But if we trust this, if we begin to believe it, that God is at work in us, and if we put ourselves back in line with Him, He is going to continue guiding us towards that goal which He has made in advance for us. Who has God made you to be? And maybe more important, who is God making you to be? And how are we working side by side to become the people that God would have us become? Father, I want to lift up our congregation today. Thank you for the life and for the lives that are represented here. For those young lives, still looking forward to all that you have for them. For those older lives with all the experience of what you have done and yet still more to do. Father, I thank you that you have given us this time, though we don't know the length of it, but you have given it to us that we might follow you more closely and move day by day, step by step, week by week, month by month, somehow a little bit closer and reflecting a little more completely your grace to us. So Father, enable us to wake each day, to take each day as its gift, to not allow it to be wasted and let simply the clock to run out, but to begin to make each day count, to give you the glory of each day you give to us. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.